good afternoon, and welcome to a Juno Afternoon on this Friday. I'm Andy Klein. I'm your host for today, and we've got a big, full show for you today. We're going to be talking with Lauren Anderson about the upcoming activities at the Treadwell Ice Arena, and Barbara Belknap's also here from Treadwell Ice Arena. We'll be talking to them both about what's coming up, a fun disco-themed event. Rhonda Gardner will be here to talk about the Saturday Zip-a-dee-doo-dah benefit concert for the Juno Co-op Preschool. We're going to get an update on the upcoming Postmodern Jukebox Group Benefit Concert from the Juno Jazz and Classics Festival. And Kevin Araki and Zeke Parrish will be here to highlight the beginnings of the Baha'i Faith. That's all coming up, plus Writer's Almanac, Bird Note, music, lots more, all ahead on a Juno Afternoon. First, here's National Native News.
From the 2017 Alaska Federation of Natives Convention in Anchorage, I'm Christine Trudeau.
And you're about to witness history in the making.
The nation's first compacting agreement between tribes and the state government was signed on the opening morning of the AFN convention. That was AFN General Counsel Michelle Borromeo making the announcement after Alaska Governor Bill Walker and Lieutenant Governor Byron Mallott gave speeches about the urgent need to address social and economic problems in rural parts of the state. Signed by the governor and at least 17 tribes, the compact allows the state to yield authority to tribes to deal with cases where children are taken into state custody. More than 60% of those children are Native, and the state is woefully short on facilities to deal with them, particularly foster homes. Under the compact, the tribes get state resources to deal with these cases in what everyone hopes will be more culturally sensitive ways. State Health and Human Services Commissioner Valerie Davidson, originally from the village of Quingilingok, where Yupik is still spoken, is one of several dozen people, most of them women, who have been deeply involved in a year of intense behind-the-scenes negotiations on the compact. "It's about our children," was said repeatedly, and that was made clear after the signing, when reporters asked her why this was important to her. After a long pause, she asked them to think about it from a child's point of view.
"And so imagine being in the most challenging situation of your life.
Yo, VIP. Let's kick it. And listen, I sit back with my brand new invention. Something grabs a hold of me tightly, flow like a harpoon daily and nightly.
Will it ever stop?
Yo, I don't know. Turn off the light and I'll glow. To the extreme, I rock a mic like a vandal. Light up a stage and wax a chump like a candle. Dance, crush the speaker that booms. I'm killing your brain like a poisonous mushroom. Deadly, when I play a dope melody.
There must be a reason I'm playing a song this bad, right? Must be a reason. And the reason is that we're going to talk about activities at the ice, on the ice, and how that ties in with honoring Domestic Violence Awareness Month. So with me in the studio right now is Barbara Belknap, and Rachel Brown is here from AWARE, and also Lauren Anderson is here from the Treadwell Ice Arena. And thanks, everyone, for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And Rachel, you can grab that mic over there. We'll get you on that one over there, yeah. And so first off, tell me a little bit about the event itself. This Purple Ice is what it's kind of been called, Lauren. Thanks
sure.
for let us know about it.
Well, about 4 years ago, I was contacted by Alaska Now asking us to paint the ice purple in honor of Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And we thought, well, we looked into painting the ice purple, and that took a little bit more time than we had.
Mm-hmm.
And so we thought, well, let's try a version of that and get lights and try and work with Alaska Now and the AWARE shelter to bring this event together. And this is, I believe, our fourth year honoring Domestic Violence Awareness Month at Treadwell Arena with a skate. And there's been different versions of this. And this year, it's sponsored by Second Wind Sports, so it's free to the community. And if people are interested, they can donate new bath towels for the AWARE shelter, and it's just a great opportunity for people to come out and honor Domestic Violence Awareness, possibly get more information from representatives from Alaska Now and AWARE, and hopefully Rachel and Barbara can tell you a little bit more about what might be available at Treadwell. Being a public facility, we want to open it up to the public to come and skate and also maybe inquire or learn a little bit more for themselves or...
Yeah, Rachel, when you have events like this and people are asking questions, what are some of the common things that people are really wondering about as far as the services of AWARE?
Well, that's a good question. Well, I think everybody knows we have a shelter and provide emergency housing for people, but we do so much more than that. Prevention, working with young people here in the community, we provide legal support for people, we have counseling services and advocacy for children and families. And so I think just making sure what people know is available to them. And people have all kinds of questions, how to reach out to somebody that they're concerned about, how to protect themselves.
Maybe how they can help the cause of AWARE as
yeah,
well.
I think that's a big one. So many people know about and really respect AWARE and what we do. And so it's really nice for people to have a way to contribute or participate in the things that we do. So we always try to do a couple of events for Domestic Violence Awareness Month in October. The colorful, that is purple, so that's why we have the purple disco skate happening.
Barbara is wearing purple right
all
now.
All right.
Lovely,
of course,
yes.
I am.
Way to represent, Barbara. We had another event this month as well. We did a purple hair for AWARE, so we had a hairstylist come in, and she did a little purple flare in people's hair if they wanted to do that. And we're always just trying to find ways to make sure that the community knows what we do and to be approachable and to partner with all the amazing agencies that are around. And so we're specifically taking towel donations for this event. AWARE has a website, www.awareak.org. Our phone number is 586-6623, and people can call and look on our website and find out what we're taking for donations. We're really excited to have the skate because it's free of charge, so not only admission but also free skate rentals, which really makes it more accessible to some people
sure.
who might not otherwise be
yeah,
able to
so,
come.
And a fun way to kind of get this kind of issue and just have people come out and understand what's going on. Tell me, Barbara, about the Alaska Now.
Well, the Alaska National Organization for Women is alive and well. I don't think people know that Now is still, it's not real visible anymore, but it still is a real powerhouse. And they have updated, or we have updated, the core issues. And the first one is reproductive rights and justice. Second one is ending violence against women, which works well with the AWARE shelter idea. Economic justice, which is equal pay, which is an issue that I've worked on for years. And LGBTQ rights, which is another new group that they've added or that we've added to the list of issues that we think are really, really important. And then
all having to do with equality.
Equality, exactly. And the last one is racial justice. So black women are paid much less, and the Latino women are paid less than white women. You know, and we know that that's the case. We know women are paid less, but it also is impacted by your race. And I think we all agree that's not fair. And then there's a continuous fight for the Equal Rights Amendment to the Constitution of the United States saying women are equal. And we just keep fighting for that one, and we have not been able to get that.
Is that something that's still an active part of what Now is all about?
Yes,
still looking for that?
It is. Still not giving up.
Something that was one state shy in the 70s.
Yeah,
and
just not happening. And,
right.
One of the great things, I think, now is the addition of racial justice. That was not in there. I don't remember ever having that in there before, and I think that's a really good thing. I think in these days, it's really important for women to stand up and say, you know, this is wrong, or, you know, this is right, and I support this. I can get up on step really fast about things like this, and I think that men and women both should be reacting when there's injustice.
Yeah, it seems like such a natural an organization that's concerned with justice focused on one area would then say, well, that needs to make sense in all these other areas
as
well.
Yeah, time
right?
has passed. Yeah. You know, it just has changed. And so, you know, I actually was surprised when I saw how much more has been added on the national website about the mission of it was, you know, it was really pretty simple before. It was like equal pay, and, you know, and that still hasn't happened. I think it's when we have a leadership that supports women's rights, then I think more gets done in Congress.
And are there things that the organization does on a local level that are kind of specific issues that Now's working on?
No, mostly it's, you know, I was a president of NOW in Juneau years ago, and we taught women how to testify before the state, before the legislature. And I'm really proud of that because it was one of those things where women who had real problems but were afraid and nervous about going before, and it can be very intimidating mm-hmm. to testify.
Especially if it's relating to a personal issue or event
exactly.
in your life. Yeah.
And so because I had been the executive director of the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, I was used to testifying. And so we did testifying clinics with a couple of members of the legislature. I think Beth Kertula was one of them. And women came up with their case, and they spoke to Beth, and she would say, well, you might want to add this, you might want to add that. And I'm really proud of that because, I was really fine with testifying, but I testified because my sister is gay. I also testified for gay marriage. And when women would go up to try to do that, they would start crying because it's so close to their hearts. So I feel that is what I want to see women feel stronger about, that they can do that. And one of the ways they can do that is to just incorporate these issues from now in their lives and say, these are our rights.
Yeah. Can I throw a curveball at you? I want to ask you about the Me Too campaign. What's your take on that? Is that a curveball? That's a curveball. I'm looking at Rachel at the Aware Shelter.
Well, I mean, I think the more people are able to stand up and feel like they have a voice in a way that feels safe enough and in the right kind of, you know, media for or whatever it might be for them is a lovely thing. You know, I mean, I think everything from women gathering on the steps of the Capitol to talk together and support each other is wonderful. I think if people feel like they're in a space to be part of the Me Too campaign, then more power on you, sister.
And, it just seems like it's opened up that topic of discussion in a way that's so healthy, right?
Yeah.
It just is. It's just a social campaign. It's a small step in a way, but it does feel like it's a step in a direction of bringing these things out in the open.
Yeah, it seems like anytime we're talking about things that are happening, we're making steps forward, because anything that's kind of kept under, swept under the rug or not talked about, we just know that those have really detrimental effects when people don't feel like they have a voice. So it seems
right.
like a lovely thing.
Yeah.
It seems really empowering for
yeah.
some people.
Well, let's talk about Purple Ice and this. So what's it going to look like? Is disco music going? Is that this? I'm guessing that's the thing, right?
Yeah. We'll have disco music. It's on the Purple Skate is actually on Sunday, Sunday, from
11:45
to 1:15.
I have the poster over here. So I'll give you the poster. Yeah, and it's at, of course, the Treadwell Ice Arena.
Yeah.
And you guys have all geared up for the season. It's happening. We're going. How long has Treadwell been open?
Since August 7th.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's been going for a while. Yeah,
we've got a lot of different activities going on.
Sure.
We try and add in some of these special events that are happening this Sunday with the Purple Skate, and then we'll come back on and talk a little bit about Halloween next week. So
okay.
That'll be fun.
Okay. Is there a program happening for Halloween, or is it just a community ability to
We'll have a Halloween skate, and then there's the Ghost Walk, so we'll talk more about that on Tuesday
with
the Douglas 4th of July Committee.
Okay, well, let's not get our hair of ourselves. Okay, so this is happening
Sunday.
And you're asking people to bring a towel?
Yeah.
Right? And that's such an easy thing to bring and donate, and it's a real help for Aware to have that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, we're asking for brand new towels that people can just bring to the rink when they show up and then find themselves some ice skates and cruise out there and disco away.
If people can't necessarily make the skate, what are other ways they can help with the Aware Shelter? What are the things that are sort of the constant stuff that's in need?
Yeah, so there's an updated wish list on our website. I think that's a great, easy thing to reference. And it's fun because there's some stuff that our children's program specifically is looking for. Some items are for a shelter, a whole bunch of different things. And then the other thing that people do so beautifully for us is volunteer. So we have a volunteer coordinator, Becca. And so it's really easy to call Aware. Our number is 586-6623, and you can just get plugged into about a million different things there. We have people who go grocery shopping for us and take our recycling and cook meals and help us with special projects, and the community gives back to Aware a lot. We're really lucky, and so hopefully an ice skate feels like a good way that we can give back to everybody else.
Is this like is this the last big event for the Domestic Violence Awareness Month? Do you have anything else happening?
Or? Yeah, this is the bigger one for us. Yep, this year. Totally.
Good. Very cool. Mm-hmm. All right, it's the Purple Ice Free Disco Skate. It's all sponsored by Second Wind Sports, so thanks to them for doing that. And it's all in honor of Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and it's in partnership with Alaska National Organization of Women and AWARE and the Sioux Treadwell Arena doing it. So thanks so much for you guys coming in and letting us know about it.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
This is Bird Note. Does your household sometimes sound like this in the morning? Well, if you lived farther south, say along the forest edge in tropical Central America, every morning might begin with this cacophony. The rhythmic guffaws you'd hear belong to a flock of chachalacas. Look, there they are. A dozen large brown birds resembling small turkeys with long tails, hopping from branch to branch in the trees. Several chachalaca species reside in the tropics. They all sound very much alike, as if they were yelling out their name. You'd probably also hear the whistled notes of a great kiskadee. There, just outside your window, perches a stocky, robin-sized flycatcher with a bright yellow breast. The kiskadee, too, seems preoccupied with repeating its name. Some cool gray fall morning, when it's hard to get going, let your thoughts drift south for a rousing tropical wake-up call. You can share these amazing sounds with a friend. Send them the show from our website, birdnote.org. I'm Michael Stein. Support for BirdNote comes from Bloomsbury, a publisher of natural history books and birding guides. Critical Critters by Ralph Steadman and Carrie Levy is available now.
This is Troy Quinn, music director of the Juno Symphony. Join me on Saturday, October 21st and Sunday, October 22nd at the JDHS as we open our season with a monumental concert of timeless classics. Sibelius's Brooding Finlandia opens the concert as young superstar violinist Fabiola Kim joins the orchestra to play Vaughan Williams' Serene, The Lark Ascending. Brahms' Third Symphony promises to tug on your heartstrings as the program comes to a close. Tickets are at Hearthside, The Jack, JunoSymphony.org, and at the door. Come experience the Juno Symphony. Adventure awaits.
It's new member month, and Juno Jazz and Classics is bringing Postmodern Jukebox to Juno. Coincidence? We think not. Let's celebrate these two exciting events by dressing up and meeting up at Amalga Distillery. Sunday, October 22nd from 5 to 7 p.m. 21 and over, please, and cocktails available for purchase. We'll have some new member gifts to distribute and can answer any and all questions about membership. Also, tickets are still available for the show at all the usual outlets. See you Sunday, October 22nd at the distillery.
And welcome back to A Juno Afternoon. Andy Klein with you. And Rhonda Gardner is here to talk a little bit about the Zippity-Doo-Dah Benefit Concert. That's fun.
Here I am again.
Is it going to be Songs of the South stuff? Is that what's going on?
No, and actually it's very funny that we sing it every year, but the history behind it, and this happened, was established well before I even got to preschool, was that at the end of the kids' concert, everybody was going to put on their coat and zippity-doo-dah their coats up and skedaddle out of there.
So I see.
It's a preschool thing. It's a transition thing.
Gotcha. Okay.
So, you know, you're just helping them with transition.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, tell me more about it. What's happening? It's a benefit for the Juno Co-op Preschool.
It is.
Right?
Yeah, and we've been doing that. I mean, I haven't been at preschool teaching for a couple years now, but for the 12 years that I was there, we did it, and it had been going on before I got there, and it's taken on lots of different forms, but mostly now it's just stories and music and belly dancing.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Summer Kester is one of the preschool parents.
Okay.
And she's involved with the belly dancing group. And
Daughters of the New Moon, I think that's the
one they do. But it was the kids were mesmerized last time we had them up there. So we're like, okay, we're having you back while we're still having.
Well, it is mesmerizing.
It is. And you know, the kids are
how
just
do they
like,
do that?
They're moving and there's cool music and there's things that sparkle and scarves. And
all the bells and all this stuff. So, and I can imagine the kids would love that.
Yeah, and she said this year, like, it's great. It's actually really awesome to watch parents realize the difference between performing for an adult group and performing for a kid group. And so last year they did their shtick, you know, all the dancers
right,
on stage
sure.
and everybody got to do their thing. And she goes, you know, this year I think I'm we're going to do some dances, but then I'm going to have like a basket of scarves and then I'll like teach a lesson for the kids. And it was like, yay.
Absolutely.
So that's actually always makes me happy when.
The finger bell things,
yeah.
all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. I mean, I'm tempted to put her last because I think that after she goes, everybody's going to be like, eh, what else? You know? So,
right.
But no, we have. Actually, I did an artist in the school residency at a couple schools last year, and at one of the at charter school, there's two kids. Well, there was a bunch of kids, but two who actually kept coming back and saying they wanted to do this. They're going to come up and tell some stories. So, and these are first graders.
First, are they going to?
Yeah, and one of them came to preschool. Winter came to preschool, and Maggie didn't come to preschool at co-op, but both of them are awesome little storytellers. And
so they have it written. Are they reading it, or is it something
they've
memorized?
They
or?
Have it memorized, but we have some visual aids just in case the microphone and the crowd kind of,
oh, cool.
you know,
yeah.
like cause a little. I don't
sure.
think it's a problem. We did a sound check, and I was like, oh, you guys actually really like the microphone.
right.
So, so I think it'll be fine. But, yeah, so each of them have a story that one's going to tell and one's going to help them with some of the visuals, and then they're going to trade in the
other
kind
of Are they kind of like just made-up fantasy-type stuff, or is it real life? Or?
They're folk tales that we worked with
oh, okay.
last year, and Winter's going to do Billy Goat Gruff. But she has, you know, some sound effects and things
cool.
to go with it. And it's pretty straight shot of the story. Maggie took, do you remember the story, The Great Big Enormous Turnip?
Yeah.
So she took that story and she goes, well, I think I want it to take place underground. I mean, under the water. And I'm like, okay. And she goes, and the farmer is an orca whale. And then it just goes from there. And it's awesome. I'm not going
to
give it away because
you don't even have to credit the turnip anymore.
No, not, it's totally its own awesome story. And I think they're going to be fantastic. And then
what a fun idea to have because that's so fun because you have these children who are a little bit older, but they still have that creative, wild.
Oh,
mind,
yeah.
right?
Oh,
and that's
oh, going
to
yeah.
connect with the preschoolers so
well,
right?
Well, and preschoolers,
right?
I mean, kids
right.
love to watch other kids
right.
perform.
That's
I mean,
true.
That's just like, ooh, you know. I mean, they can see themselves in it a little bit more.
Sure.
So I think that's awesome. And then there's those of us grown-ups who really aren't grown-ups who are up there. And so my Jambusters youth band is going to – we're going to sort of start them off and send them out. And then in the middle, we actually have a nursery school dad who just played for the library, Patrick Klaska.
Okay.
And I said, send me your playlist, and he sends it over, and like a couple out of the songs are like punk rock band songs, and I'm like, oh, this is so good.
That's fun.
And I said, you like have punk rock songs, and he goes, yeah, my wife calls me punk Raffy. And I said, you're branded. I'm sorry, right there. I'm using it. You're punk Raffy.
Punk Raffy.
So we have punk Raffy coming, and then one of my favorite storytellers in town.
I wish punk Raffy had been around when my kid was in preschool.
I know, right? Exactly. So actually, I don't think your kid needed
ago.
Punk Raffy
no.
because she had you.
Yeah, yeah, I guess.
But
I didn't play the uke. But.
And then you didn't even
know,
need a
maybe.
Uke. Oh, yeah. And then Pat McClear, who is a retired, you know, Pat,
yeah.
is a retired librarian, and she's one of the most talented storytellers in town, and so she's going to come back and tell a story,
Oh, that's
too,
great,
so.
Yeah.
yeah.
And it's just an hour.
It's just an hour.
I mean,
you've got
a lot packed in.
Yeah, you know, everybody just does their little bit and keep them moving, don't give them time
yeah.
to blink, and then send them off to nap time.
Very cool, that's
so,
right.
Yeah, and it goes from, it's tomorrow at the Northern Light Church, and it's going to go from noon to 1, and there's going to be a big sale by donation, so people can go and... Doors will open at 11:30, so if you want to go and have a little snack beforehand, you can do that. If you got other things going on, you can go and see the show and then buy some food, you know, on your way out. I think they had a suggested donation for $5 a person and $20 for a family, and you can interpret that however you want. And mostly, you should come if you want to come. You shouldn't worry about money. If you want to come to
yeah.
the show and,
yeah,
I mean, come.
Right.
You can throw a buck in the bowl and that'll be happy. We'd love to have people and it's not going to, you know, we're not going to run
sure,
out of spaces.
Sure,
so
right.
just come and have fun.
Yeah, sounds like a blast. Now, are you still involved with the preschool on a day-to-day basis?
Not on a day-to-day
not really.
Basis,
yeah.
no.
I was just going to kind of ask what's going on at the preschool.
Well, they still have two classes. They now have three teachers. Mary Sweeney is still there. Linda Trussell is teaching with her on...
Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then there's another woman, Hosanna, who's teaching with me on Tuesday, Thursday. I think the Monday, Wednesday, Friday class, morning class is all full, but the Tuesday, Thursday class still has some spaces.
Okay.
And I went down there, and there was, you know, all kinds of amazing fun stuff, you know, still going on. The climbing room is always my favorite to peek in and watch because their stories in action. That's one of my projects. I want to go in there and just record some of the stories that are happening in there with.
Just as kids are talking,
oh
you mean?
Oh, my God. Tell me what's your story that you're playing. You know,
oh.
You just start them and say, once upon a time, what are you playing? You
right.
know, and they just blah, blah, blah.
That's
it's
fun,
so
right.
cool, yeah.
That's
so.
A fun thing. You don't really think about that, but kids do have a narrative often going, right, as they're playing and as they're doing stuff.
And oh, yeah. And it's, you know, it's actually, it's just so much of how they're making sense of the world,
right.
you know? And I think, I mean, that's actually one of, I loved preschool. But the part I loved best was, you know, their play and then doing books and stories with them, right? And so I signed up to be an artist in the schools, and I got to go around and do folk tales and acting out stories and stuff. And that's where I'm kind of
yeah.
like, loving that and a million other things.
It's a fun play. My daughter's teaching preschool now, you know. That's
really?
What she does in Ketchikan. Yeah.
No way.
And
yeah,
so,
Lydia.
Yeah, right.
Cool.
All these years later, but
well,
it's such a fun.
Those of us who go back and find our own again, right?
Right? That's right.
Oh, I think I'm gonna hang out with these
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, that's right.
They get me. I get them. Yeah, exactly.
I think that's exactly what happened. And they make the best teachers. So, well, that's great. So it's the Zippity-Doo concert. At the end of this, of course, you zip up and you take off and you go to nap time.
Right. Right.
And it's all happening tomorrow at Northern Lights Church. It starts at noon, goes to 1 o'clock, and there's gonna be storytelling and belly dancing and
music
and from ukuleles and punk rocky.
I know, right? See, now you're never going to. I told him you don't have a name anymore. It's now just punk rocky.
Yeah. All right. Well, Rhonda, thanks so much for coming in and telling us about it, and have a great time tomorrow.
Cool. Thanks, Andy.
All right. Coming up next here is Writer's Almanac.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Friday, the 20th of October, 2017. It's the birthday of Ferdinand Joseph Lamenth, New Orleans, 1890, better known as Jelly Roll Morton, great piano player, playing in the bars and brothels of New Orleans, wearing his turquoise coat, a Stetson hat, and tight striped pants. One of the biggest names in jazz in the 1920s, and the first true jazz composer, because he was the first to go beyond improvisation to write down jazz tunes. King Porter Stomp, Black Bottom Stomp, New Orleans Blues, the original Jelly Roll Blues. It's the birthday of the poet Robert Pinsky, Long Branch, New Jersey, 1940, grew up reading dictionaries. He said, read as much as you want. This word reminds you of that word. You could just wander. It didn't matter if you lost your place. It wasn't tyrannical, like a story. Robert Pinsky, who said, poetry takes care of itself. All art does. That is paramount. In a survival race, I'm quite sure poetry will long outlast reality TV and Twitter. It's the birthday of John Dewey, Burlington, Vermont, 1859, the father of progressive education, combining learning with doing, treating children as individuals, teaching them how to live as members of a community. John Dewey once gave a speech in which he said there was so much knowledge at universities because the freshmen brought everything they knew to college with them, and the seniors never took anything away. It's the birthday of the singer Adelaide Hall, born New York City, 1901, who did the wordless solo on Duke Ellington's Creole Love Call. And it's the birthday of the composer Charles Ives, Danbury, Connecticut, 1874, who put hymns and college songs and gospel revival songs, military marches, into his compositions. Charles Ives, who said, awards are merely the badges of mediocrity. Here's a poem for today by Robert Bly, The Day We Visited New Orleans. So much time has gone by. Napoleon's house, he never came, still stands in the quarter. Time ends all the good living that Louis XVI, after the trouble, never experienced. All the sights Andrew Jackson never saw in Pirate's Alley. Ask the alligators about heat and history. Out in the bayous, we met a small alligator named Elvis. When we stroked his throat, he waved his left claw at the world. It makes you think. Alligators enjoy a world before the alphabet. I don't want to be who you are. I want to be myself, someone playing with language. Let us each be a sensualist of the imponderable. Let's each do what we want. I thread my way down alphabets to the place where Elvis is. The Day We Visited New Orleans, poem by Robert Bly, from Eating the Honey of Words, published by HarperCollins, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by Fox Searchlight, presenting the new film Goodbye Christopher Robin, about Winnie the Pooh author A.A. Milne and his son, whose toys inspired the classic tales. Starring Donald Gleason and Margot Robbie, now playing select theaters everywhere, November 3rd. And by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, a monthly devoted to discovering and publishing new voices in poetry. More at poetryfoundation.org. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Support for this program comes from listeners like you and GCI, offering TurboZone in restaurants, coffee shops, sports arenas, and other locations. More information at GCI.com.
Find out about a life so fascinating, so compelling, that it draws 1920s movie star John Barrymore to the wilderness of Glacier Bay. Who is the couple he keeps returning to visit, and how are their lives intertwined? Dreaming Glacier Bay is a new play based on true events by Juno playwright Joel Bennett. See it at Perseverance Theater, October 24th to November 18th. Tickets at ptalaska.org, The Jack, Hearthside Books, and 463-TIXS.
And welcome back to a Juno Afternoon, where we're going to talk about another great show that's coming up, and it's Postmodern Jukebox. We're with Reggie Schapp and Patty Kalbrenner from Juno Jazz and Classics. Thanks for coming in, guys. Excited about this?
Super exciting.
We were just saying, Joy Will works out at the brewery with me, and she's been talking about this concert for months.
She's the one who brought them to us, right. And we've been working to get this concert here for over 3 years.
So for people who aren't familiar, it's such an exciting and fun concept. These incredibly talented jazz musicians in multiple styles take songs that we don't think about as something that could be adapted to jazz, and then they do that.
Yeah, actually, today, the song that they released yesterday, because they release a different song every week, so they have so many of these videos out, and they're all wearing sparkly, it's all fabulous, and it looks like it's in an old-timey bar, and the musicians are incredible, and they're always rotating. They just released Smells Like Teen Spirit by Nirvana, and you have to listen to this song. We reposted it on our Facebook page. It's slow and haunting and like kind of digs in as it goes, and then it blows up in the middle and it's just like, wah! So, and a lot of their songs are really fast, and as I've been becoming more familiar with them, you listen to one of the fast jazzy songs and you want to come to the concert because they're so catchy and so exciting and so fun.
Right.
But the one that they released yesterday was, it's a real treat. It's something different.
Well, cool. I might, maybe as we're talking, I'll bring that up here. We'll play a little of that. Sound good? Right?
Yeah.
Maybe that one. We'll bring that one up. But so tell me, there's a couple of things going on, right? This is going to be an evening of fun events, but it's billed as a benefit concert for Juno Jazz and Classics. So is that a little different than when we normally go to Jazz and Classics concerts?
Well, we do several concerts throughout the year that are benefit concerts that we use to support the 2018 festival. And this is one of them this year that we're doing as a benefit concert. What's so great about Postmodern Jukebox is that this one goes across generations. I mean, you can bring your kids, and they're going to know the songs that they're playing because they're popular songs. But mom and dad and even grandma and grandpa are going to enjoy the fact that it's in jazz or swing, a totally different thing. So it's a great family event that we're bringing in. So
yeah,
that's
very
pretty
cool.
Awesome.
Very cool.
And if you want to make it a party with your friends, there's a pre-concert cocktails at the Amalga Distillery beforehand. And this is 5 p.m. till showtime. And this is an event hosted by KXLL. And it's part of their membership month, and you can pick up your membership gifts at the event, and it's going to be just a great excuse to get sparkly and hang out, have a couple cocktails beforehand.
Be super postmodern, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, it's cool. I mean, that idea of taking this they do different styles too, right? It's not always one style of, like, classic jazz or you know, big band, or it can be
hip hop, yeah. There's bebop, whatever you want to call it. There's a lot of different styles, not just jazz. There's swing. There's some that are really slow and romantic. It sounds almost like you need to dance a rumba to instead of.
And some sound like they're straight out of a musical. They're just like popping with energy too.
Yeah, and so I just brought one up. Let me see what we got here. I'm just gonna play Seven Nations Army. Have you heard that one from them?
I think I have. I've been sort of going through their whole library.
Let's listen to it. For folks who haven't heard this before, this is a little taste of what is going to be playing. And is it at Centennial Hall?
It's at Centennial Hall.
Tickets are still out there?
There's still tickets available.
Okay, so there's still maybe a few tickets out there. So if you're interested, this is the kind of stuff that's going to be happening there. So
this
is
what...
That's awesome,
yeah,
right?
It is so great.
Yeah.
And it's really exciting because there's, 33 musicians that he has as part of this group?
It's part of Scott Bradley's Postmodern Jukebox. There's 33 musicians. We're having 11 performers coming. So the stage is going to be full of performances, all different kinds of instruments, and it just should be a fun night. So it'll be a variety of music.
And no two shows are the same.
And that's so interesting that they're so prolific, that they're putting out a song and video a week, right? And they're just like, just filling
pumping
up the
it
content.
Out. And,
yeah.
And that while they are having a concert here in Juneau, Alaska, they can also be simultaneously on tour in Europe and on tour in Australia. And they're becoming such a big name that they're attracting, like, all of the most incredible musicians that maybe, you know, and like are coming out of the woodwork, and they hold little competitions so that they can get people jazzed about it. It's really just a really cool production concept in general.
Right.
So it's exciting that they're going to be, I wasn't familiar with them beforehand, and since we've been learning about them and promoting the concert, I'm completely in love at this point.
Now, are some of the musicians going to be at the event at the Amalga Distillery? Is that part of it, maybe? Or?
We're hoping some of them will want to go. Their sound checks are at 4:30.
That's the priority.
It might be cutting it a little close, but we're hoping some of them will want to go down.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah, and that's such a great venue, and that'll be a blast as well, right? And it does seem, you know, you feel a little more sophisticated than you normally do in Juneau.
Oh, yeah.
Out,
something like this is a fun. Yeah, dress up. Put your sparkles on. Put on your, I don't know, what feels fancier, a bow tie or a bowler cap. And, Annie B will be at the Amalga Distillery, and it's just such a pretty venue, and we just felt like that would be the right backdrop.
Sure.
For,
it feels like
to
slightly.
To kind of get you in the mood for something like this.
Maybe speakeasy-ish or something.
Yeah.
Is there a secret knock?
There should be. We'll come up with one.
Should be, yeah. Bum, 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 bum.
Yes.
That's the knock. Just sort of the details on if people want to get tickets and what they cost and where to get them.
Tickets are available at our normal locations, which is the Jack Box Office, both Hearthside Books, and online at jazzandclassics.org. There hopefully will be some tickets. If you wait to the last minute at the door, I wouldn't count on it. I would go ahead and get your tickets early. The tickets are $45 for general admission, $40 for seniors, and we want young people to come, so we're only charging $25 for students.
Oh, that's awesome. Wow, that's terrific to do that for students. Yeah.
And the students include UAS. We've had several questions of if you're an adult student, please bring your ID for your ticket.
Is there refreshments and things like that available at the concert, that
there
whole deal?
Is. The Baranoff's going to be hosting several bars there. They're non-hosted, which means it's a cash bar, but there will definitely be drinking for a nice, relaxing atmosphere.
And a kids section for that area.
The kids have to come with adults.
Right, okay.
So we won't have anything roped off or anything. And we hope when we get everything set up to maybe even leave a little room in the back so people want to dance.
I think yes, right? That seems like a requirement.
Well, it seems like a requirement, but we have a lot of people want chairs. So
people are packed in.
Sure.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you got to accommodate all that. Okay, and it's happening. Tell me the dates and times and all that stuff again. Sunday,
October 22nd, 7 p.m. starts the show at the Centennial Hall, and the one at the Amalgam Distillery starts at 5 p.m.
All right, well, it's Postmodern Jukebox doing really cool stuff. I was just kind of going to pull up one more thing on the way out here. Maybe we'll bring up a little cover of Britney Spears here as we head out. Just a little oops, I did it again.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Patty and Reggie, for coming in, letting us know about it. Have a great show.
Amy.
Sounds like a great time there. Sunday at 7 is Postmodern Jukebox. Still tickets available at Jazz and Classics, JazzandClassics.org.
JazzandClassics.org.
And the pre-show over at Amalga sounds like a really nice gathering over there as well. Thanks both for coming in.
Thank
you. Appreciate it.
I'm a fool in so many ways. Got to lose all my senses. That's just so typically me. Oh, baby, baby, oops, I did it again. I played with your heart. Got lost in it again. Baby, baby, oops, you think I'm in love, that I'm sent from above, oh, I'm not doing as well. Oh, oops, I did it again, I blew with you.
Governor Bill Walker has called the Alaska Legislature to Juneau for a special session that begins on October 23rd. He wants lawmakers to continue work on Senate Bill 54. Walker also wants lawmakers to act on an income tax to help close a multi-billion dollar gap between state revenue and spending. Keep up to date with legislative hearings and actions with Gavel Alaska on 360 North. Schedule information at 360north.org.
And welcome back to Juno Afternoon, where I'm being joined by Zeef Parrish and Kevin Araki is also here with us. Thanks for both of you for coming in.
Thank you very much, Andy.
Zeef, thanks for wearing the Spider-Man outfit, man. I appreciate that. I mean, it's not radio listeners cannot appreciate what's going on here.
So, Andy, I know that Zeef is a little bit too humble to say this, but
it runs with Zeef.
Oh, Zeef. Sorry, Zeef. Zeef Parrish is here with us. I'm sorry, I keep getting that wrong. So, Zeef, very good. Well, we're here to talk a little bit about sort of a very special celebration for you guys. There's the bicentennial of the founder, of the birth of the founder of the Baha'i Faith. Do I have that right?
That is absolutely correct.
So tell me a little bit about the Baha'i Faith. I'm sure most of our listeners have generally heard about it, but may not understand some of the specifics or some of the things that make it a distinct faith.
Well, the Baha'i Faith is a world religion with probably around 6 million adherents, and Baha'is are believers in Baha'u'llah, followers of Baha'u'llah, and that is the real reason why we're having this bicentenary celebration, is that the founder of the faith would be 200 years old today if he were still alive.
So tell me about that. I guess I maybe didn't quite realize that Baha'i was a faith that has been around that long. For some reason, I thought of it as something maybe newer. I don't know why I thought that, but I maybe just kind of did.
Principles?
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about what the founding principles are and what sort of sets that apart.
Okay. The Baha'i faith, the biggest teaching in the Baha'i faith is the oneness of humankind, that we're all equal, we're all loved by God, and we can work together, and we should work together to make a world that's characterized by peace and love and justice and
service to humanity.
Yeah. I'd say those are the main principles. We believe also, like, we believe firmly in the equality of men and women, or women and men. Eventually the elimination of the extremes of wealth and poverty that we see in the world today, the eradication of racism and all prejudices.
Some of the other tenets include the melding of science and religion. You know, sometimes you hear about how religion comes head-to-head and sort of anti-science, but the Baha'i Faith is a firm believer that religion and science must agree.
Hmm. So these sound to me like radical concepts 200 years ago.
Certainly.
Right? This is a really fascinating thing to think about. So tell me about the founder. Where was he from? That sort of thing.
Well, you mentioned that this is radical concept, and I would point out that especially from where Baha'u'llah came from. Baha'u'llah was born in Persia in the city of Tehran. Now it's currently known as Iran. And as many of the listeners out there might already know, that even today, Iran is not, wouldn't be considered the top of the list of people who believe that men and women are equal. And so, some of Baha'u'llah's revelations are quite radical for the day, and
maybe even radical for today.
And part of even today's in today's world, some of the Muslim clerics in Iran are persecuting Baha'is just because of their beliefs.
Mm. Mm. So how are you guys going to celebrate this here locally? Is there a couple of events or things like that you guys are planning
on doing? Tomorrow night is the real big event.
Okay.
And starting at 7 p.m. at the Jack, right across the street from you, is our big celebration of the birth of Baha'u'llah. 200 years ago, the founder of the faith was born, and there will be presentations. We'll be getting a little bit of dancing in towards the end of the celebration. Zafe and I are currently working on a presentation that will hopefully segue into other aspects of the evening. There will be some refreshments there. There will be some discussion. It's hopefully going to be a fun time for all.
And tell me a little bit about the how the Baha'i faith kind of operates on a day-to-day basis. Like, is there a church? Is there, you know, do you go on Sundays? Or, are there those sorts of mechanisms behind the church? Or is it, how does that kind of operate? That's sort of what we would think about is, that, you know, that sort of typical way that people practice faith, or?
Well, every day Baha'is are obligated to pray, and so every day is a Sunday for Baha'is in a certain manner. You're supposed to read the writings, and you're supposed to remember God basically every day. And Zafe and many of the Baha'is in Juneau are currently involved in what's known as the Institute process that has been developed over the years based on some of the things that Zafe already mentioned, the movement of unity, movement of love and service to humankind.
Hmm. And so what you just mentioned, and I'm just learning, so thanks for talking to me about this, because it's just interesting to learn about a faith that I haven't really learned about before. When you mentioned God, what's the concept of God in the Baha'i faith? Is it a monotheistic God structure, or is there a you know, real concrete structure around what that means, or how is that structured?
Well, I wasn't born into the Baha'i faith. I grew up as a Christian, and even as a child, I was thinking that, you know, the God of the Jews, the God of Christians, the God of Muslims, it sure seems like it's really the same God. It's just that there are different messengers from time to time that come to Earth and just give the message of unity at a time when the world needs it. And when I heard about the Baha'i faith for the first time, that's the exact teachings of Baha'u'llah. So the Baha'i faith has a great respect for all the religions of the world. As a matter of fact, the Baha'i faith is just an extension of the teachings of Christ, the teachings of Muhammad, the teachings of Moses, the teachings of Buddha, the teachings of Zoroaster. All of these teachings are not disparate, different teachings. In a way, they're all unified. But depending on the age that man lives in, there are certain arbitrary laws that can be abrogated or perhaps enhanced upon. And so, in a way, the unity of God is built into the Baha'i faith. Mm.
Are there areas of the world where the Baha'i faith is more concentrated than others?
I would say Iran.
Is that right? Yeah.
Although
parts of India, it's very concentrated. Yeah. There are patches all over the world where there's high identity of bias.
Is there any theory about why certain areas where that grows, just one particular fairly strong leader or something like that happens? Or
I guess in response to an older question, Baha'is don't have clergy. We don't. There's actually no individual in the Baha'i faith who specifically has authority. And if someone tried to take it, we would not trust them. So it's not a matter of leaders, but it's a matter of populations due to varying circumstances that happen to be more receptive to particular approaches that are tried, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is there a, you know, Bible or Quran that is the Baha'i faith version of that holy book?
Well, Baha'is have what's known as the greatest book. It's called the Kitab-i Aqdas. Kitab-i Aqdas are a set of laws that Baha'is should live by. It was written by Baha'u'llah. And if there was a Bible for the Baha'is, it would be the Kitab-i Aqdas.
Yeah, and that, how would you describe what that is? I don't have it right that it's the Bible, right? It's not that. It's not the Bible, for instance, is a series of stories that has these teachings. Is the book in the Baha'i faith more of, or how is that structured?
Well, it's kind of interesting that you bring up the Bible in comparison to any book from the Baha'i faith. Baha'u'llah is actually the author of thousands of tablets and books and other things. And so the Kitab-i Aqdas in particular is a book of laws and ordinances of the Baha'i faith. However, in regards to stories of the Baha'i faith and in regards to just everyday living as opposed to like laws, many tablets are written, and some of these tablets include prayers that are part of that tablet. There's also writings of the people that accompanied Baha'u'llah that kind of tells the story of how Baha'u'llah and in the Baha'i faith, there's actually twin manifestations of God. And manifestations are these holy beings that will be able to lead the world into, as Zaif mentioned, unity, justice, love. So the predecessor to Baha'u'llah is the Bab. And part of the presentation is to introduce others to the Bab's life as well.
Hmm.
So it's not exactly analogous to John the Baptist to Jesus Christ, but in some ways, it's like the Bab was similar to John the Baptist for Baha'u'llah, who would be similar to Jesus Christ.
Mm, okay. The Bab is a title that means the gate. So the idea is the gate to Baha'u'llah. Baha'u'llah is actually a title that means the glory of God.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating. It's really fascinating to talk to you about this. How many folks in Juneau practice the Baha'i faith approximately? Do you know?
Well, if you include everybody on the rolls, it's about 200 people. But there are, I would say, roughly 50 very active Baha'is in Juneau that either come to activities or are contributing in some way or another.
Well, if you're listening right now and want to find out more or you're of the Baha'i faith, there's a gathering happening, and it's happening tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at the Jack, and it's a celebration of the founder of the Baha'i faith's 200th birthday.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Can I mention one other thing?
Absolutely.
So there's a couple of events happening this weekend.
Okay.
So as you mentioned, the event happening tomorrow evening at 7 p.m., but there's also a video that was produced by the Universal House of Justice. Now, I know we haven't really talked about the Universal House of Justice.
And Kevin, I'm sorry. We've only got 10 more seconds.
Okay. So
one more thing.
That one's at the VTRC Center at 1 o'clock p.m. on Sunday.
Great. Thank you so much. And that's it for Juneau Afternoon.
This is KTOO Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. We also rebroadcast on translators K276AF in the Mendenhall Valley and Auk Bay, K269AO in Lemon and Schweitzer Creeks, K210 AM in Gustavus, K220BT in Hoonah, and K210 AS in Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait. In Juneau, KTOO is on GCI Cable on digital channel 871. We're also online at ktoo.org. Support for national programming on KTOO comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and listeners like you.